André Manger, our well, judge for the competition.
Thank you very much.
But it's really interesting to know that, I think, for everyone, wasn't it? What the process was. Forgive me if I refer to my notes here, because I didn't want to likewise forget to say anything that I did want to say. I just wanted to reciprocate, Peter, and thank you very much for asking me to... There are some seats in here, I think, if you... There's places to perch. There's at least two or three perching places.
Here we are. We're handing them out.
Why don't you all try and come in?
I'm sure other people need to sit down more than me.
So we've got four seats now.
So great.
Have a seat.
I will move forward so that Sue and Mike can come in.
Pressure, Mike. So much pressure.
Shall I sit next to him? Yeah. All right, okay.
No, I just wanted to reciprocate to Peter and say how honoured I was and delighted to be asked to judge the competition. I've really enjoyed coming to Wivenhoe, as you said. I think it's about four or five times now over a period of about 5 years, but more often recently, partly because I started publishing fiction. So the bookshop here very kindly offered to launch, be one of the places that launched my book, which I see a copy of. I didn't bring it myself. If they've got one left.
It's very good. It's very, very good.
My book of short stories in December, so that was launched here too. So I built up this really lovely connection with the place, and I do love coming down here. It's really a great retreat. And for the first time tonight, I'm delighted my wife Rose has managed to come, because we've been trying to get her down here all five times, and she's never managed it because of work commitments. So that's really nice. So the competition, yes. I was, when the Joy of Six, a group poetry performance group that I'm part of, came to perform here in May, I think it was. Was it not long ago?
Recently.
Peter, in the pub beforehand, produced out of a satchel this huge brown envelope. I looked at him and said, what is it? And it had top secret. No, it didn't. It didn't really. But it had a bit of that feel when he gave it over to me. And I went away terribly excited. When you've got a top secret document, you go away really excited. And what I did was I gave myself, because he told me there were just, compared to 325, 22 poems in this envelope, I really did think, right, OK, I'm really going to apply myself to these. So the way I did it was, for each day, for 7 days, I read all the poems. And it meant that on each of those days, I might have been in a different place mentally. I might have been come at them from a slightly different angle. And what I was pretty sure of at the end of the 7 days is that I would have a very strong idea of the ones that were kept on calling to me. And indeed, that's what happened. So by the end of the week, it was pretty clear to me that three or four of them were going to be the winning poems, and it was then very difficult to decide in what order, really. But I really did enjoy and thought they were all very strong, the ones that we're going to hear tonight. It's a shame, but also a wonderful thing, as Peter was saying, that the three winning poets can't be with us tonight because they are so far away. Mm. And we understand why they can't drive from Cumbria, Devon and Cheshire. But what it tells you is that your competition is on the map.
Yes.
People are entering it from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I haven't actually Googled them all and seen a bit more about them, but the one thing I did see was that the winning poet had also had a highly commended or winning poem in the recent Yorkshire Open competition, and is obviously a poet going places and has a collection due out in about 2-3 months' time. And I was heartened by that I kind of... Well, my judgment felt as though it had been vindicated a little bit. Now, Peter, the kind of process I think we've agreed to do is to work from the commended poems in a rough order that I'd sort of suggested, from 8 to 1. Is that right?
Yes.
And
or slightly amended, but
slightly
yes.
Amended. You'll have to tell me when it's amended. Then.
No, just that's fine.
Nudge me.
Merits towards
winning three.
Yes, that's right.
And what the plan is really for me to just say a couple of words about why I enjoyed, like, this poem, and then to hear it from hopefully the person who wrote it, and if not, we've got some plans for people in the room to read the ones for poets who can't be here. So the first one of the Merritt poems is called Another Concert by Candice. And what I was struck by in this one was that I think we all agree that free verse writing of poetry is quite a dangerous area, and it's very easy to not do it well, precisely because there aren't any rules. And when there aren't any rules, it's very easy to get self-indulgent, to go off at tangents, to try and include everything that you'd like to write about, to write it in any way you'd like to write about it. And it's quite hard to rein that in and still make it feel like a condensed, complete poem. And that's a danger anyway. And this poem doesn't entirely, I didn't think, entirely escape those dangers. And that's maybe why it didn't finish a little bit higher up. But for the first two thirds, I thought it was absolutely fantastic and beautiful. And I love the long, languid lines in it and their rhythm. And they've got a kind of what I felt was a world-weary music in them. And that perfectly echoes the concert, the memories, and the lost opportunities they describe. Mm. Candice, would you like to read it? And yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'd love to read it. I think I'm... I asked to come...
Ennis, do you want to come up here?
Are you sure? I asked to go towards the beginning because I'm going to the prom. at the school where I worked, still sort of worked. That's why I have a wrist corsage on. And I'd just like to say that I've had a wonderful time the last couple of years getting to know people in Poetry Wivenhoe and the bookshop. It's been wonderful. Sometimes you are in the right place at the right time. Okay. I wrote this last year. Another concert. You might think that the future is a murky November night, that you can't take it. Love is too hard to find. Never mind keep. Talk about not getting off the ground. But you get yourself to that intimate little venue. Walk in high heels. Buy the best glass of red in the house. Well, they only have two. And find a seat near the front. You listen to the song from the Siberian prison. What did the man do to be put away so long? You listen to Bob Dylan in a way you've never heard him before. Corina, Corina, why has she been away so long? The electric banjo opens your heart. Or maybe it's the way he plays the flute with no holes, just a stick any kid in the old days would run down the street with. And you get inside that song. But the question nags you. Does Corina ever come back? The guitarist talks too much. The first night of their first concert. Might be too old to be forming a new band and going on tour. There. He said it. It makes you sit up straight. See? Everyone has doubts. You have to shake them off before they shred your heart. Nobody wants to waste any more time. You'd like to tell them that, but you don't want to come on too strong. Those doubts again. So you take a deep breath, walk up to the tiny stage and tell them that the lady from Minnesota loved that Dylan rendition. Outside, the sky is clear. You run to the car. Maybe you'll find a copy of Hard Rain, which is what he suggested in the moment between his smile and your flight. At least you've realized that everyone feels at some time what you feel tonight. And you know that he's working on a new song from that album. And you ask yourself what it is that you're working on. Thank you.
Ourselves. What's that?
New
dimension. Yes, we all ask ourselves at some time what is it we're working on. The next poem, I had the pleasure of meeting the poet as I came in, Hazel, is called The Beat Goes On and On and On. And when I read it, it was clear that it was a performance piece. And I didn't want to make that give me a preference, and I didn't want to make me dismiss it. I just wanted to... But when I'd read it, I wanted to hear the person read it, because, or recite it, or shout it, or whatever they felt that they should do with it, because it had a tremendous beat in itself. It had a lot of humour that I loved, and I liked its kind of general air of disrespect to the general canon of poets. The kind of nice underlying irony that it used rhyme to lament and despair of rhyme to literally beat it up. And I was thinking very much of John Cooper Clarke when I read it. And it was clearly written for, as I say, for performance. And it was nice to learn that Hazel's actually from Liverpool, the home of the Beatles and the Merseybeat poets, and where a lot of contemporary performance poetry really started, I think. So I've been waiting a while, Hazel, to hear it.
Thank you.
And well
very
done.
Much.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Andre. Thank you, Wivenhoe Bookshop, and thank you, Poetry Wivenhoe. I've only performed this once, and it was at Comedy Club last night, so I'm actually quite scared.
Did it go well?
It did there, but given the content, I'm not surprised. I will just say that this isn't inspired from total disrespect for poetry. It's from being brought up in a family that had disrespect for poetry. My father particularly hated Wordsworth. He said, this guy has all this Lakeland beauty before him, and all he can write about is a bunch of sodding flowers. So this is called The Beat Goes On and On and On. I want to go to the pub, I want to beat up a poet. He's cruising for a bruising, but he doesn't know it. I want to get physical with the metaphysicals. Pull a gun on Dunn, then beat him till he's quizzical. I want to beat up poets. I want to beat poets. I want to track down Ginsberg and hit him in the head. I want to beat the war poets, but they're already dead. It's not working class rebellion or social insecurity. It's just I don't trust poetry and what it's meant to do to me. I want to beat up poets. I want to beat the Merseybeat. I want to beat Brian Patton with a metal baton. Adrian Henry will beg me to desist, but I won't heed his pleading because I'm pissed. And Emily Dickinson, well, she just needs a kick in, son. I want to beat up poets. I want to beat Keats. Tie him to an armchair and give him Chinese bairns whilst reading out his countless odes to nightingales and hens. If he'd have had a beating then maybe he'd have learned. I want to beat up poets. I want to mess with their meters. The poets are all hiding in their higher echelon, sending words and stanzas to try and prove me wrong, trying to convince me of their charm and sensitivity. I've already heard enough. I just want to beat them up. I want to beat up poets. I'll beat my head against the wall again and again until nothing rhymes at all.